We've got a special presentation, actually a panel discussion. It's called Vietnam First Encounters, and we're doing this in conjunction with this PBS documentary that recently came out about the end of the war in Vietnam. I don't know how old you are, Sean, but, you know, when I was growing up, it was 25 years past World War II, and now we're talking 50 years past the time that the Vietnam War really started up and 40 years since the anniversary of the fall of Saigon. So it's appropriate that we're talking about Vietnam now. We've got a panel discussion of four people. Two of them are American veterans of the war. Two of them are Vietnamese boat people. And one of them, a Mr. Pham, actually was an officer in the Vietnamese Army. So it'll be a short excerpt from the documentary and then a short discussion among us panel members and then plenty of time for the audience to ask questions and to reflect on their own memories of that era.
Well, you mentioned it's been a long time, yet when I was growing up, Vietnam was still sort of a subject that was a bit taboo for a lot of people to discuss. You know, there was such a deep divide over it. Have we hit a point, do you think, that we're ready to have an honest discussion about what happened there and to, you know, as a country to be able to look at this objectively?
I think there are still a lot of emotions on the, especially those people who grew up during that era. Those people who fought there certainly have strong feelings about it. Those who were protesting and were adamantly opposed still have those strong feelings. But you would like to think that we have tempered our opinions a little bit, and it is time. It's certainly appropriate that we take a harder look at what happened then and to reflect on what these service members went through, as well as remembering what it was like back in the United States. That was so much part of the story about the protest that was going on during the time.
One of the people that will be on that panel discussion is Tom Bowman. He was an enlisted man in the Army. He talked to you a little bit about what it was like when he left Vietnam.
Yeah, Tom was a medical service specialist. He did paperwork while he was in Vietnam, working in a hospital. But just like the Army does for everybody, they had him work in triage and everything else. And one of his strongest memories was when his hospital was attacked, a Viet Cong sapper attack, in a very painful moment for him to discuss. But the clip that we're going to hear is one about what it was like to come home. And it's almost a universal experience for the Vietnam generation when they do get on that airplane and are waiting and are wondering, is something going to happen? I'm going to be stuck here for a while longer. And you're going to hear that as he talks about it.
We got on the bus at the replacement station, the 22nd Replacement Depot. And we went from there down to the flight line at the air base. And there was the Freedom Bird was there. And they were only on the ground a short period of time. They wanted to fuel them up, unload them, fuel them up, and get the guys going home on that plane and out of there. But from the time that we loaded on the buses, and there were, I don't know, four or five buses, and we were all crammed into these buses, I mean, like sardines. And from the time we got on the buses, nobody uttered a word. I mean, it was deathly silent. I mean, you could hear a pin drop. And you're going down there, and everybody's thinking the same thing. You know, we're leaving there, and it's about a 8 or 10 mile ride down to the air base. And you know, we're going to get ambushed along the road, or we're going to get mortared.
Tom Bowman goes on to say that as they got in the air on the plane, that it was more of a celebratory experience there. That, you know, he mentioned somebody snuck some booze on board and everybody began to party a little bit more there. But you're right. It struck me that people were very concerned that, you know, they'd waited for that moment so long, finally going to be getting out of Vietnam, and then they weren't going to be satisfied with that until at least they were in the air.
Yeah, one of the dynamics of the Vietnam era for all of those who actually fought there was they arrived as an individual. They left as an individual, so there's that loss of continuity and connection with your buddies sometimes. And everybody, towards the end of their tour, would count the days. They knew exactly how many days it was before they're heading back to the States. Two of the people who are involved with this presentation on Tuesday are Vietnamese boat people. One I mentioned was an Army officer, and after the war, he didn't make it out. He spent a year in a re-education camp. Well, that's a nice euphemism for a prisoner of war camp, and he got beaten there, just as brutally as we would understand somebody who was an American POW during that war, a horrendous experience for him. And it took him 2 decades, changing his identity and hiding away from the authorities for year after year after year before he was finally able to get out with his oldest son. And the other one is a very young boy who doesn't have any memories of the war but was able to escape Vietnam in 1979. His family decided he would come with his aunt and some other relatives while the rest of the family stayed behind because, as Patrick said, well, there's only a 50-50 chance that you survive. And that gives you a different perspective of what it meant for them to get out of the country after the war.
The end of World War II, it was celebrated. The Vietnam War seemed like it dragged on even after it was actually over. For a lot of people, they never really came to grips with that. The people you talk to, do they still feel that way?
Yeah, to a certain extent they do. Tom Jones, who a lot of people in Springfield know, is another one of the panel members, and he spoke very eloquently in our interview, an extensive interview, about the difficulties of coming back to the United States and adjusting. Tom was a Marine. He was in the Navy, but he went with the Marine Long-Range Reconnaissance Patrol. He saw heavy combat, and that was the reality that he lived while he was in Vietnam, and he gets back to the United States, and things didn't make sense to him because it wasn't the reality that he had to survive with while he was in Vietnam. And, you know, it took an awful lot of time for Tom and many others to really make that adjustment, and I think it was especially difficult when you come back to a general public who is antagonistic or indifferent about your experiences. They weren't the supportive and celebratory public that we saw in World War II by any means. And so they had to wrestle with that as well as their own personal demons.
There's also another event coming up next week. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, one of my favorite interviews with a World War II veteran is with a gentleman by the name of Vince Branza. He's from Auburn, Illinois, but during the war, he grew up in Staten Island to a strong Italian family, got into the airborne a little bit late. He didn't make the jump into D-Day, didn't make the Arnhem campaign, the Bridge Too Far campaign, but he got to Europe in November and saw action in the Battle of the Bulge. He didn't jump into the Bulge. The 101st Airborne drove there on trucks, but then, as we all know, they were encircled by the Nazis, and for roughly a month, they fought it out. And because they held that key crossroads, the World War II history is quite different. He has amazing stories. He is a very colorful character. He's at 90 years old. He's extremely sharp. And he recently wrote a book that roughly based on the many interview sessions that we had. The title of the book is Nuts, 101st Airborne Division Machine Gunner at Bastogne. And if you're interested at all about that era and want to connect again with an honest-to-God hero and an American veteran of that most important battle of the European theater, then I would encourage you to come out and hear what Vince has to say. I promise you won't be disappointed.
For you, your role of trying to capture that oral history before, you know, these people are gone, before we don't know some of those stories, that's really important work that maybe people don't realize of just what you're trying to do.
Yeah, it's a labor of love for me. I love talking to the veterans. My main priority is talking to Illinois politicians. And as you know, Sean, there's a lot to talk about there as well. But the veterans, every single one of these stories, it's personal. And you walk away from it and say, wow, I didn't know that particular event or that specific information. And it's so important, like you said, to preserve this for future generations.